back to the Pinstripe Podcast. Scotty, what's up?
It's a busy week.
It is a busy week, but it is currently 7:49 on Thursday, and as of 2 minutes ago, Aaron Judge has won MVP in the American League. Is it a surprise? No. But is it a relief? Yes, because baseball writers make me nervous with Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. I got real scared.
Oh, they make me nervous. And for good, Scotty, how many people did you think were going to vote Shohei Ohtani to be first place?
I thought it was going to be 25, or, well, I guess, yeah, 25 for Judge and 5 for Shohei. I thought somehow it would be on five people's names.
Yeah, because I feel like you'd get people who are just, it feels similar to Derek Jeter not being unanimous, is that someone wanted to be that person.
Yeah, but I feel like also people would be like, the same idea that like kind of was going on a lot of the year of like, we haven't seen somebody do what Shohei's doing in 150 years. Yeah, well, we didn't see what Aaron Judge did for 62 years.
Exactly. So. I saw MLB on Fox put up a graphic like comparing the two. And like, first of all, they led off with WAR, which is like the most important.
Weirdest.
Now.
But also,
it's weird. But also like literally the argument that everyone uses. And like Shohei's was 9.6 and Aaron Judge's was 10-4.
11-4.
11-4. I was like, yeah. There's your answer. And then they finished with Shohei getting like 10 votes for the third place American League Cy Young. And Aaron Judge's last stat was led all of Major League Baseball by 16 home runs. I'm like,
yeah,
you're comparing apples and oranges, baby. They're just not the same. But huge, huge news. Oh, Brian Cashman and manager Aaron Boone have just come out with a statement. Would you like a read?
I'd love a read.
From Cashman, and we also have one from Boone.
We will not pay Aaron Judge more money because of the MVP.
They're like, so this actually decreases the amount because we now have to buy a trophy case and probably make bobbleheads. But Cashman says, on behalf of the entire Yankee organization, I want to congratulate Aaron on winning the American League MVP award. He was incredible in every facet of the game in 2022 and put up, I don't want to hear what he says, actually. I want to hear what Aaron Boone has to say. The honest, actually, they're just exactly the same. It's exactly what you expected them to say. I think if we're going to continue on talking about Aaron Judge, which I'd assume you would like to do.
Yeah.
Did you see Hal Steinbrenner's quotes from the owners' meetings earlier this week?
Yeah. And like, there's the updates as well, just going on. Of
there's currently a Hal Steinbrenner interview with Meredith Marakovitz. Part 2 is on right now. I'm just waiting for the cliff notes on Twitter. I don't really feel like sitting down and listening to Hal. But yeah,
I don't blame you.
But if anybody missed out, pretty much said that they are going to pay more than anybody for Aaron Judge. And he even said, this is the most surprising to me, that I apologize.
You're fine.
Audio keeps switching because it keeps on showing me on Zoom that it's switching. But Hal Steinbrenner on the Yankees still spending to improve the roster if they re-sign Judge. Quote, we have plenty of ability, and Aaron Judge and I talked about this, to make other things happen too. Which is, I think, huge. Because you want to sign a superstar and not Mike Trout him.
Yes.
And they partially did that. By re-signing the Italian Stallion.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And the timing of it, fucking phenomenal.
Oh, no. What I think was funny was they sign Anthony Rizzo, perfect time, you know, really kind of get everything moving forward. And then there's a quote that came out. It's like, Anthony Rizzo says, I really want Aaron Judge. Yeah, no shit. No, I thought he'd say, nah, I'm fine with not getting Aaron Judge. Nah, we're good.
But like, I think even like outside of Aaron Judge as a player, like the two of them are always together in the dugout. But the timing of it that I loved was what? That happened, how this week is all, Tuesday? Wednesday?
Yes, Tuesday.
Tuesday? on Monday night, I started getting nervous because I just get nervous whenever I see a Yankee who I like's name in the news, not related to the Yankees. It was announced that Houston's number one target was Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah.
And then he said, surprise, motherfucker. And if to loop back to the end of the season when players were saying it was difficult to be a Yankee because life is so hard when you're paid millions of dollars to play the sport that you love. Sorry. people asked why Rizzo signed back, and he was like, at the bottom line, I love being a Yankee. That shit was good.
It's the Italian blood. It's the Italian lifestyle.
He said, I love the Italians in New York.
He's Italian.
There ain't no Italians in Houston.
I don't think there are many Italians in Houston.
I highly doubt that the Italian population is huge. In case you were also wondering, at 6'7", Aaron Judge is the tallest MVP winner, surpassing 2017 MVP Giancarlo Stanton.
That is actually an interesting stat.
So, thank God. But huge. Huge, we're obviously the cherry on top of a flawless season. He is the second Yankee after Thurman Munson to win both the Rookie of the Year and MVP as a Yankee. Oh, you want to check my stat? That was a Brian Hoke tweet. Bro.
Didn't he not win Rookie of the Year? I thought Altuve won Rookie of the Year instead of him. I thought that was the whole thing.
That's why... Did Brian Hoke lie to me?
I thought he lost to Altuve, and then it's like everybody saying bullshit about that. Oh no, he did.
I thought Altuve won MVP.
It might have been that.
I think
that might be what I'm talking about. Altuve won MVP of.
Because people's response under.
Because I'm also thinking the same idea of like when he was starting it. I mean, with how long Altuve's been around, then it didn't make sense. I think it was MVP. You're right.
If Aaron Judge wins AL MVP tonight, he'll be the second player ever to win the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, so he won. Yeah, Rookie of the Year, and then that year was Andrew Benintendi was behind him.
With
32 less home runs. Yeah, it was MVP. It was MVP. That's what I knew. It was something, and I don't know how it didn't process in my head how old I know Jose Altuve is.
The first response. Like the first tweet reply underneath it is that he should have won both in 2017.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew there was because I knew there was something about Altuve with it being that year and everything. And I mean, everybody has their own opinions. It's close.
I mean, statistically, I think Aaron Judge was the better
player. I mean he had a better WAR. He had, of course, more home runs. Altuve had 50 more hits, but this is a whole different thing. There was the biggest difference here. If you want to throw it back, I think this is important here. There was a 69 walk difference between the two. Jose Altuve got walked 58 times that year. Aaron Judge, 127.
Do you think that that's important?
I think with that much of a disparity, it is.
You think that that much disparity is enough to affect all of the other stats?
Well, with how close all the other stats were.
I mean, Jose Altuve has a shockingly smaller strike zone than Aaron Judge.
So then Altuve should have a higher walk, but Aaron Judge had the higher walk.
Oh, I thought you were saying Altuve had the higher walk.
No.
I was Judge like, yeah, walking Jose Altuve
70
is
70 more walks.
I was like, walking Jose Altuve is probably significantly easier than walking Aaron Judge. Yeah. Oh, then that makes me even more mad.
I thought you were like
Jose Altuve won because he walked more, and I was like, that's your argument. It was very confused. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we haven't really heard anything else. Oh my god, Jose Trevino.
Oh yeah,
Jose Trevino wins a platinum glove. The first platinum glove for a Yankee.
Yes, because the award's only been around since like 2012 or something like that. It hasn't been around long.
I want to come back to him really quick, but really, really fast. The team also as a whole won a team gold glove.
Which is interesting, but no,
I think
I'm not gonna
I think the idea of having a team gold glove is very weird. But
because that means IKF apparently was worthy of it. Aaron Hicks is apparently worthy of it. Marvin Gonzalez is apparently worthy of it.
But
and it was both. It was also both teams that had the platinum glove of Arenado and then St. Louis.
Yeah, do you think that that had anything to do with it? They were like, the Yankees have IKF, but you can balance it out with a platinum glove.
Yeah, that's the whole idea that I looked at it and I agree. I think a gold glove to a whole team is stupid, but it's not a real award. It's kind of like an applaud. It's an applaud award. Like, you guys did good.
However, I think it's a dumb award, but you look at the Yankees last year versus this year. Last year, we would have never in 1,000 years put the Yankees in any conversation to win any defensive like team award. But with the work that we did in either it was the preseason, maybe it was our offseason acquisitions. I don't want to give Josh Donaldson and IKF the same respect that I give Jose Trevino, but I digress. The drastic difference that you kind of saw in our team's defense, because respectfully, I don't think we ever win a team gold glove with Gleyber Torres at shortstop.
At shortstop, yeah.
And I would like to, before I move forward, Jose Trevino, 155% worth it. I know that I remember us talking last year when we were on the fence of like, oh God, we have to get rid of Gary, but how the fuck do we replace him? Do you know how embarrassed Gary Sanchez probably is?
Agent Gary Sanchez.
God, don't you miss Gary sometimes?
No.
No, never. No. You never miss that lazy fuck. No. But there was like a video going around Twitter like after Trevino got his platinum glove of just like how many pitches outside of the zone that he just made in the zone. And it is just, gosh. Again, of course. I mean, he started off very hot. You always want an offensive catcher a la JT Realmuto. But I'll take the amount of outs that he probably gave us over having an offensive machine. He's at least a little bit more productive than Gary. Then again, I think a rock could be. I've been giving it more of a think. I want to revisit the trading Gleyber topic, if you would enjoy.
I'm not opposed to that.
You share your thoughts first. I know I'm just springing this on you, and I apologize. But
I think that it is not a terrible idea, though at the same time, I think it's something to have a lot of weight in for. I think we've talked about this. I think my dream situation would be Peraza at short next year. I would prefer, I don't know if I want Volpe at second or at third, because we talked about how much, you know, Donaldson underperformed and how, especially how much we're paying Donaldson.
Well, Donaldson is currently locked in as our third baseman, according to
Barton. I know. And that's why I would really love Volpe at third rather than second, because I think that Gleyber could hold over enough. And again, I think everybody's hating Gleyber. Gleyber had a very solid year this year. He slumped extremely in August, but so did everyone else. And I think that he is somebody that even if you do trade him, he has good value to him. And he's especially, I mean, I remember I said this last year. I called it last year. You sell him as a second baseman, you'll get good money out of him. And I think that, you know, it's the approach that we can, since we're locked in with Donaldson over at third, we could very much have Volpe take over at second and then get some good people, whether it's prospects or it's active players, whatever it is, for Gleyber. Granted, I think a lot of that will come after Benintendi, after Judge, because we'll see what we do there. If we can buy both of them, which will be tough now that we bought Rizzo out as well. Not bought Rizzo out, but we have him for 3 years,
I
2 years.
I feel like, though, because of Benintendi's injury, you could offer him a 1 year with a 2 year option.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get a full season of Benintendi. So that might be able to save the money.
And then, yeah, but like, you know, that's the idea of, I think, if your technical weak spot, besides personally it being third base, if we get Benintendi and we get Judge, our technical weak spot, not being third base, would be Gleyber at second. I'm honestly okay with that, because it's technically a weaker spot, but I don't see it too much as a weak spot for us.
I would like to highlight that I am not open to the idea of trading Gleyber, because I don't want Gleyber. Like Scotty said, he had a really good year this year, and I agree, he sells as a second baseman very well. And the reason, if we're riding with Donaldson, which makes me want to rip my eyeballs out, your team is, right, so we have Rizzo at first, Donaldson at third, and to make up the middle infield, on the current roster, not including Anthony Volpe, we have Peraza, we have IKF, we have DJ, we have Cabrera. The benefit of Cabrera and DJ is that they can play second and third. Cabrera could also play short. Obviously,
he could also play first.
Yeah, he could play anywhere. Ideally, of course, we find a way to dump IKF somewhere. I think that that's...
Do we sell him as being on a Gold Glove team?
I mean, the thing is, you sell him as a Gold Glove third baseman, because that's what he is. We just took him out of that position.
Yeah, it's the same idea you could do with Gleyber, is you sell him at the position you could sell him at the position he didn't play at for you, but he still has the numbers behind
him. What's frustrating with Gleyber is that now we would be selling him as a second baseman, because he has a year of second base experience under his, well, like more than a year, obviously, but like this most recent year, you know, you sell IKF as a utility, and then maybe you can keep, like, the thing is, Gleyber can bring back a return. If you remember around the trade deadline, there was a lot of talk about Gleyber, Miami, and Sandy. Sandy obviously now is going to cost a lot more.
Yeah.
Because of the Cy Young. A unanimous Cy Young. Congratulations, Sandy.
Very much also, deserved it.
Also a unanimous Cy Young to Justin Verlander. Unfortunately, he also did deserve it, but I don't want to talk about it.
He's asking for
Scherzer money. Three years, 130.
Yeah,
he
from
is
anybody.
Significantly older than Scherzer, correct?
Yeah.
I think
by at least, and I don't think significantly, I think probably 3 or 4 years.
That's a lot of time for
where their age is. Yes,
with an older pitcher, a pitcher with two Tommy Johns under his arm, like that's
in his arm.
In his, you know, I mean, they're just not stacked right on
Tommy,
top.
Tommy Johns in his arm.
I don't want to trade Gleyber. I'm just saying, for once, we have somebody that we can trade that is actually of value, instead of continuously trying to pitch teams on giving us good people off of Clint Frazier and Miguel Andujar, off of a slumping Joey Gallo, off of a garbage Aaron Hicks. We now have a guy who, I don't want him to go, but we have DJ, Cabrera, Peraza, Volpe, who can fill that hole of Gleyber. The thing is, the offensive effects of bringing in a young guy the first month or so might be hard, but we're just in a place where Gleyber has a star power behind him that you could trade him and probably lump Aaron Hicks in with him and actually get a good return. instead of being like, hi, we want Carlos Correa for Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar, and Devi Garcia. And they're like, fuck out of here. So it's not that I want him to go. I want to make that very clear. I don't want to lose Gleyber. I think Gleyber is a fantastic Yankee. I think I love Gleyber Torres. He got really good this year because he had a baby. Book it. I just think that there is a value in him that the Yankees can use to further benefit their team.
Yeah.
And that is me thinking like a GM for once in my life and not a fan. Character growth. But that was the only Yankee topic I really wanted to bring up. Aaron Judge is having some quotes right now about free agency. Quote, for me, I want to win. I've come pretty close with the Yankees. My ultimate most important thing is I want to be on a team with a winning culture and a commitment to winning. First and foremost. Yeah,
Fran is off the chart then.
Off the charts! First and foremost, it's a winning culture and a winning future. He also said that him and Hal have been having some positive talks, and he looks forward to getting to free agency. My one last thing about the Hal interview is Marakovitz did bring up if they bring back Judge if he gets named captain. And it was a weird answer, which I assume it was weird because he can't say yes.
He can't say he will be.
Because that sounds weird. But to go along with like the quotes from earlier this year, I think it's even if he, I mean, I think that when we sign him, he will get that as well. It was just really cool to see him like have that title without actually having the title. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think a lot, so, you know, I think that idea of he wants to be on a team that wins, first of all, besides me calling that out since, like, the middle of the year.
First of all, also, who the fuck would be like, I just want to be on a team that I have fun? Like,
I just want to get paid. I just want to get paid.
It's like the Texas Rangers will offer you $700 million, but you will win 50 games.
Jacob DeGrom,
Corey Seager, Marcus Semien.
No, but I feel like that's a point where, you know, he says that he wants to be on a team that wins, and the whole thing of like, you know, the Yankees have come close. And I think that's probably the talks that are going on is with Hal is honestly probably telling Aaron Judge his plans for the offseason.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, we want to sign Benintendi. That's our goals, have Benintendi. You just saw we just got Rizzo back. Things like that of like, this is the team we're trying to put together. And this is a team that, you know, you saw us in the playoffs. We barely had a left fielder and we still got pretty far. Imagine if we have that left fielder, we have that first baseman back. Like, he's probably trying to convince him on that. And he's just trying to edge him on that. And so I think, I mean, I think that Aaron Judge doesn't sign till late. I'm going to say January.
I didn't know we were tossing out dates, brother.
I'm thinking that because he's in no rush either.
Yeah.
The only rush that he has is if he wants a lot, like the most money he can possibly get. Because if he waits too long, then technically teams won't give him as much because they're like, we already spent a shit ton. But I think if that's enough of his mentality of wanting to win, he will sit back and see what these other teams do before he makes his move.
I was going to say also not to, because obviously every team, quote unquote, aims to win. But saying that you want a winning culture and like a history of winning really does weed out a lot of the random teams coming out of the middle of nowhere. You know, it's not going to be like, not that I think anybody foresaw this happening. It's not going to be like Carlos Correa going to Minnesota in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen on Twitter the tweet that it's like Carlos Correa in the middle of the night for no reason? And it's the video of Joe Biden just yelling, I think about it all the time. I agree that I think it will be thought out, but I will continue, and I this is probably, this is me tossing all that GM thought thinking that I just
right
had
out the window,
right out the fucking window. I continue to think that he is going to bring every offer that he gets to the Yankees. And be like, make, be better than this.
Yeah.
you know, San Francisco just called me. They're like, we signed Jock Peterson.
Okay. I think that fully makes sense. And that makes sense for Hal. And that makes sense for Judge. Of he probably has a thing of wanting. And as I said again, he probably wants to be a Yankee in most ways, because he saw that they win. You know, he sees the way that they treat him and how much, you know, we praise him. But also at the same time, the
entire city praises it.
Yeah. But at the same time, he's like, I very much deserve to get paid a shitload.
As he should.
And so he's going to go and be like, and just going to keep upping Hal and being like, hey, I want to be here. But just know that I could go there for this much, so you got to at least match it or get it up or something like that. Because, you know, he still knows his worth, and I think he's going to put his worth out. Hal's going to put a worth below that, and then if any team gets a little close to that, he's going to be like, hey, that team's getting closer to mine than what you're putting out here.
As much as we like to, I don't want to say make fun of the Freddie Freeman situation, but kind of address it, I think that that's going to be like a learning curve for a lot of these teams of like how to not like how to fuck up your superstars.
Yeah.
Hal will
go and be like, all right, I'm gonna send a man to go to his house and tell him my deal.
Like, I will handwrite it myself. I will roll the paper. No miscommunications. Do you have anything else for the Yankees, or do you want to get to other awards and trades and all of that? I don't know if there's been any other actual important trades, but...
There's been two to three trades. So let's do other trades since we mentioned them. Yep, both of the Mariners. So let's start with that, and then
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. I totally spaced.
So one of the big ones that... Not big ones, but one of the ones that just happened... I should say the first one, because the first one leads into the second one. The Mariners pick up Teoscar Hernandez.
Bro, I love clearing out the AL East. I love all of the bitches flying out of here.
And they give away... Sorry. They give away two prospects over to the Blue Jays. And I'm trying to find...
Which is, I think, a very low price for Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah, but apparently... I'm trying to find if this... Apparently, it was like also kind of in favor for the Blue Jays as well. Apparently, the Blue Jays technically have a very good pickup from it, because I think the one was like a number 10 prospect for them, and the other one was a solid relief pitcher for the Mariners this past year.
Teoscar Hernandez just could be annoying as a Yankee fan. Like, he could not be a threat literally any other time. I hate motherfuckers like that. G-Man Choi, glad he's gone. Who else is a Yankee killer? Kevin Kiermaier was. He's no longer a Ray, bitches. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Seattle is the only people doing trades, right? Like, no one else has been.
Nobody else is doing trades.
Oh, the Atlanta Braves did say they're not trading Ronald Acuna Jr. In case anybody thought they were going to do that. They are not listening to that.
So yeah, then along with that, you know, it kind of got into a place where, you know, they were looking, they're like, damn, the Mariners actually have like a lot of outfielders now. They just got Teoscar. They have
Julio.
I don't know. Mitch is a first baseman. They had like four or five people who could be outfielders for them. They're like, damn, this is kind of getting into a little influx. And so their next move was with the Arizona Diamondbacks to get rid of Kyle Lewis. God, I always forget
that team exists.
So Kyle Lewis is now a Arizona Diamondback. And out of that, the Mariners got outfielder catcher Cooper Hummel.
That's my favorite combo.
Weirdest combo.
What a freaking combo.
He is a rookie. He just played 66 games this past year.
Later in the outfield.
That's
like
both.
Oh, he did mix.
He did mix. He batted 176.
This is going to sound terrible. That's such a Diamondback thing that he's an outfielder and
outfielder and catcher. Yeah.
The only other team that would do that is the Rays.
Yeah.
But the Rays would do it and he would like never drop a ball and just be a wall behind the plate. The Diamondbacks would do it and they're like, we just need bodies, bro.
Yeah, so he's 27. He's, as I said, just had the first year in the majors. I don't see them being used much. Uh-uh. But at the same time, Kyle Lewis was also falling off at the end of his career. So they just got rid of, kind of got rid of bodies there. But yeah, that's really the only big trades that have happened. Signing wise, there hasn't been a ton either. I mean, as we already mentioned, Rizzo.
The only one that I can really think of is Rizzo.
And I don't think we talked about it, the Edwin Diaz one.
Oh, yeah, we totally missed that last week.
Yeah. So what, Edwin Diaz is a 5-year, like, 170?
Something like that. I had it at one point, and now I don't
have it. He's getting paid more than Chapman, which is more deserving.
I should get paid more than Chapman.
I think it's a bold buy. Look, I understand the year he had, but also you have to look at the year he had last year. I think it's a mixed potential he has of being really good. And
it's a Steve Cohen move. Like,
yeah, it's a money move. And it's funny, like, talking to people, talking to Mets fans, and I'm like, you know, he had, like, this was a really good year, and he's shown potential. Like, 2017, he was really good or whatever. But I was like, you also have years where he was shitting the bed. And they're like, yeah, but, like, he figured it out. And I'm like,
You don't have that luxury.
Aroldis Chapman figured out how to use a splitter and still sucks. So,
the thing is, once you're paying them that much money, you never give them the, oh, they'll figure it out. But, like, right, we've talked about it with Gerrit Cole a million times, is that we're paying you $325 bajillion million dollars. You shouldn't have to figure it out. You should just know what the fuck you're doing. So definitely is interesting. I have three more things. How many things do you have?
I would probably just be... So I have two things non-award related.
I have one thing non-award related.
Oh, I bet one of them is the same one.
Then we'll do that first. The Miami Marlins.
Nope, not the same one.
Oh, I have two things non-award related. The other one we definitely have the same. The Miami Marlins have named Caroline O'Connor president of baseball ops.
Yep.
So they are now the first United States major sports franchise to have women operating the entirety of the team's day-to-day businesses, obviously along with Kim Ang. And in case you're wondering, yes, I am applying to jobs with the Marlins.
And that is why I didn't save it. I forgot about that one. I didn't save it because I knew you'd have it.
Yeah, it's huge. Absolutely. I mean, we had a whole episode, I think, dedicated to Kim Ang.
Wow.
God, fuck me, man. A woman in sport? Who am I? But just that huge. And Scotty also said that the Marlins are going to be in the playoffs, what, next year or the year after?
23rd. I said CS the year after.
Here it comes. Here they come. And then people are going to be like, oh, it's not because of the women. They'll find some other stupid fucking reason. And it'll be like, how about, crazy idea, the women. My non-award.
No, they can't do anything, because what are they going to do? Blame Derek Jeter? They also yell that for selling Stanton and everybody like that. Like, yeah, there's no win.
Now, my other non-award related thing that I would assume this will be really awkward if it's not what you Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper needs UCL surgery. Not positive if it's Tommy John. Not sure what his 2023 timetable is. But I would just like to say that if Bryce Harper was a Yankee, he would not have played with his torn labrum. We would have never seen him after the broken thumb. And never fucking mind if he had to get UCL surgery. We would just never see this man. But the impressive part is that he was able to do what he did in the postseason. He clearly did not get this injury afterwards. There's no way. Right? I don't think you can just, like, casually need a UCL surgery. Just, like, from your day-to-day life.
Yeah, you just need an entire UCL. Yeah.
But it's crazy that he performed the way that he did. Would have been the obvious MVP if the Phillies had won the World Series with a bum UCL. What do you have to say about
it? Okay, well, I now have two things. One of them is a signing that happened that was a bit minor, is Yankee related, and also is Met related. Steven Ridings is now a Met. So Steven Ridings out entirely last year with
a labrum.
Yeah. So he was out the entire year, and then we just end up not bringing him back. You know, he threw hard. He was a tall motherfucker.
He was fucking massive.
He pitched, I think, maybe like 20 or 30 games for us last year. He didn't pitch a whole bunch. But now he's over to the Mets. He'll probably end up getting a ton of reps because it's the Mets bullpen. And besides like three people, they suck.
And he's good.
And yeah, as long as he comes back to the same person that he showed when he was with us, then he'd be pretty solid for them. The other thing is that Astros part ways with their general manager, James Click.
Get him right now. I don't know where to put him, but get him.
The thing is, though, apparently from what I'm reading about it, he did jack shit for this team.
Oh.
Everybody that
never
this
mind,
team got.
Never mind, Yankees. Never mind. Continue to ignore me.
Everybody that this kid got was just from their former GM. You know, most of their players, like Yordan and all that, he kind of got it from them, if I'm reading it correctly. Apparently, everything is from Jeff Lunhow, who was their former GM. But I still think he is still the GM.
I was going to say, there's still levels of respect.
He was the one that brought up Pena, like things like that, like the ideas of that. Is you know, still borderline.
Something to note.
Yeah. But yeah, that's really only two things that I have, that and the Harper thing that I had that was not Yankee related, not award related.
So managers of the year, really quick. Terry Francona and
deserving.
That was right. We were talking about the AL one, it literally could have gone to any of them. The NL one ended up going to Buck Showalter. Buck Showalter has now won Manager of the Year four times in four different decades with four different teams.
Yeah.
Honestly,
respect to Buck. Still, as I said last time, I don't think any of them really deserved it.
Yeah.
But I did realize that, oh my God, what's his name? The Phillies manager did get a few votes. And if I didn't realize he was able to get votes, I thought he like wasn't available. He 100% should have gotten it because you have garbage
with Joe Girardi.
Yeah, you have the idea of look at the AL managers of the year. The reason that they were going to be managers of the year was because they turned a bad team to a very good team. The guy for the Phillies did it in 3 months.
Yeah,
he didn't even have a whole year to turn them around, and he turned them around into a playoff
team. If anyone in the National League deserved it, it's that. And I can't think of his name right now. My brain keeps going to Phil Nevin, even though I know that he's with the Angels.
Nope. Yep.
Like, I don't, 150%. Rookies of the year, really quick.
Rob Thompson.
Julio Rodriguez obviously wins in the American League. Not as obviously, Michael Harris, I'm going to say junior, and I know that's wrong.
It's junior, the second. It's the right number. It's the right number. Well, no, he goes by the second, but it would be junior.
Michael Harris, the second. Wins National League Rookie of the Year. And Scotty and I were talking about it, and we think that it's, what do we think it is? Bullshit!
It is, but it's all because of one number, and that is the two letters of GP. Games played.
I was like, I was thinking of a person. I was like, huh? But yes, games played.
Which I still think is bullshit that, you know, you look at what Strider did.
Exactly. It's not, absolutely. First of all, it's not Strider's fault that pitchers don't pitch every day. You can't hold that against him. And he went in, I can only think of one bad start against the Phillies one time.
Yeah, and I think
other
he had.
That, he was a.
I mean,
he was.
He had crazy numbers. He had like 14. I think his strikeouts per nine were like 14 strikeouts per nine.
Yeah.
He had less than a home run given up per nine.
Yeah, disgusting.
Like, it was actually crazy what he was doing as a rookie.
Yeah, ridiculous. Not to ignore the National League MVP, Goldschmidt won. we felt that was pretty obvious.
Which is one of, like, what, 8 St. Louis first basemen to ever win an MVP?
Something ridiculous. But huge, huge, huge. Hopefully, we'll have some trade news next week.
I do want to say.
Scotty wants to say.
All this shit happened with Julio, and I still think it's so funny to see all the Astros fans in the comments going like, yeah, but Peña got the MVP, got the ALCS MVP and the World Series MVP. But Do you know what? Peña will never have a Rookie of the Year. Dude, Julio Rodriguez can go and get both of those next year. Peña can never be a Rookie of the Year now.
This is true. I'm not even going to lie. I did not know who Jeremy Peña was until the postseason. Call me a bad baseball fan, but like the second that I knew that Carlos Correa was out of Houston, I was like, I don't give a fuck who's in your middle infield. apparently, you know, looking back, Lexi should have given a fuck who was in their middle infield. But I knew who Julio Rodriguez was, and he was significantly less threatening to the Yankees.
Somebody was like, you know, it's a little weird that they had cameras with Julio Rodriguez when he won his MVP, when he won his Rookie of the Year. And all the replies were like, because he was going to win, no shit.
There were cameras with all of them.
Like, it was like same thing. It was like same thing with Sandy. It's like, yeah, he was going to win, no shit.
people just love to hate. Am I a person who loves to hate? Yeah. But I do it, I think, in a respectful and responsible way.
Yeah, but, I'll try that.
Anyway, to keep up with us during the week to see any trade info or anything like that, follow us on Instagram at pinstripe.podcast. Scotty definitely has a sick-ass graphic made for the MVP. Sorry, I just got a weird text. Made for the MVP, our king, our leader, Aaron Judge. I don't know why I told him that, but we will be back here next week. If you want to share the show on whatever platform you're listening to, that'd be great. And for Scotty, I'm Lexi, and this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. Bye.